I'm going to start with prayer. Is that all right? Okay, if it's not, you're in trouble. We're in church. But I just have such an expectation for what God can do in just a short amount of time right now. So I want to raise up our level of expectation. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are speaking, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder even soul from spirit. And Lord, I thank you that no word would be wasted, but Lord, even in the next several moments, that you would speak clearly to every family, to every man and every woman. And Lord, we will be very careful to give you all the glory and honor. I believe that bodies will be healed under the sound of my voice. I believe that marriages can be reconciled in this place. And Lord, I just thank you for freedom in the house and everyone watching online. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, let me just start with a few confessions as we're getting to know each other. The first confession is, before I got here, this suit was not as tight. But the chili crab, the chicken rice, I feel the power of God right now, let me tell you. I went to go put this suit in and I was like, wow, I am growing in the Lord. And so I just wanted to officially announce that I think I'm becoming Singaporean. It's official. And another confession is that I typically preach from a physical Bible. And so I feel a little naked without the sword, a physical Bible. I need a Bible without notifications. I don't know about you. But I met a young person last night and he came up to me and he had waited in line for almost an hour. And we were at the book table and he said, I watch you online and I've watched you for some time. And I have a desire to preach all over the world. And I just felt so convicted in that moment to equip him because he didn't have a good Bible. So I actually gave my favorite Bible away. It felt really spiritual in the moment, but afterwards I was like, Lord, I hope that wasn't a mistake because I love that Bible. And then sure enough, a good friend of mine, without even knowing that happened, sent me a message this morning and said, hey, the Holy Spirit told me to buy you a new Bible. Isn't that amazing? Come on, we can put our hands together for the Holy Spirit. And I think it's an upgraded Bible, let me tell you. But I went before the Lord. This sermon that I'm going to preach is not a canned sermon. This is not a sermon that I've preached all over the world. I went before the Lord because of my great respect for the father of this house and this ministry. And I said, Lord, I want to speak something specifically tailored to this ministry. And I want to know what you have to say to them. So the title of this message is Run Toward the Roar. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down. Run Toward the Roar. And we all are familiar with the passage 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that says, your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I want to take a look at our primary text is out of the book of Judges. So we're going to take a look in Judges chapter 6, and then we're going to look at verses 11 through 16. So let me just kind of unpack this. Is there anybody here who just absolutely loves the scriptures? My desire is that we have a Bible revival here in Singapore. And so we're going to look at the word of God together. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Say amen when you found it. Okay, you're just looking at the screen, aren't you? Okay. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this appeared to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us to the hand of the Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Oh, come on, I feel the power of God already. I'm about to preach today. The Lord had begun to download this word, run toward the roar. And I felt so compelled to preach this to you because I believe that many of you are in a very critical season in your life. You're in a crossroads in your life. We all have to make the decision of whether or not we're going to play offense or defense, whether or not we're going to advance or we're going to retreat. And sometimes if you live a little bit of life, you start to get discouraged because you have broken expectations. So you start off thinking that God is going to do these incredible things, and then you experience disappointment. You know, just to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm the oldest of five kids. I had a single mother, and we were incredibly poor. I had multiple abusive stepdads, and we were in South Chicago, and that's the environment that I was raised in. My mother, she did not understand the things of God. You know, she was just raised in church, but really didn't know the deeper things of God. And then when she really came into her 30s and 40s, she started to seek God. She just thought, there has to be more. Is there anybody here who maybe went to church growing up, but there was something in your spirit that kept awakening to the reality that there's something more? Just wave at me. And because I got a feeling during worship, I got a feeling that many of you are like me or like my family, where you had this feeling that there's got to be something more. And so when I became a teenager, I was 15 and 16 years old, we started to discover the gifts of the Spirit. And we had not encountered any teaching on that in our church, and we really were not familiar, but we started to read books. And because we didn't have an environment where you can train on the gifts of the Spirit, we basically started to just try them on each other. And so I was like, Mom, I'll pray for you. And she's like, I'll pray for you. And my mother began to pray for me, and I would pray for her, and we would experiment with the prophetic gifting. And we had no idea what we were doing, but we were just being obedient to the Scriptures. And what happened was my mom, she played the piano. Well, let me just tell you, half of my family on my mother's side, they're all hillbillies, people who talk like this. From West Virginia. Have you ever heard Americans like that? Okay. I promise they're not as unintelligent as they seem. Some of them are. And then on my father's side, they're all Sicilian. So if you're wondering how this happened, because you're like, is he a Jew? Is he, you know, like, what is he? I don't know. God gave me an international face, okay, to help me unlock nations. But really, I'm just half hillbilly, half Sicilian. And so my mother, you know, she played the piano, and she played this honky-tonk country style, and she got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and she began to speak in tongues, and she began to prophesy, and she really started to do a form of prophetic worship before Bethel and before a lot of the things that we have now. So she really was a pioneer in the United States, and she would travel all over doing this extended worship. And so that was kind of her story. And then here's her son, Michael, which my family called me Doolittle, but I don't have time to explain that. That's another story. And so we started to experiment with the prophetic. But then all of a sudden, at that time, as my mother's ministry and music began to grow, and as I began to preach all over the region, suddenly my mother got this unexplainable disease in her esophagus. And it inhibited her ability to sing, and it was a progressive disease, which means over time it's going to get worse and worse. So the doctor gave the diagnosis and said, unfortunately, medication, it can diminish some of the symptoms, but there is no cure, and it's going to get worse, and over time it's eventually going to take your voice. So my mother came back extremely discouraged with that news, but then something quickened in my spirit. And as a teenager, and by the way, I had these beautiful curls, this illustrious curly hair. I know you don't believe it. You know, and I said, Mom, I have a word from the Lord. But I began to speak to my mom, and I said, I believe you can be healed, because we read in scripture that many people were healed. So I just have to believe that you can be healed. And so my mother and I, we united on this word that she was going to receive a healing. And then the next year she went for an annual checkup, and the doctor said, unfortunately, Sandra, your conditions have gotten a little bit worse, but we're going to continue to monitor it. And then the next year she went back in the same diagnosis. Well, finally, after a couple of years, my mother's broken expectations, she kept getting more and more discouraged. And it frustrated me as her son, because I could hear that it was affecting her voice. It was harder for her to hit those notes. It was harder for her to sing and to lead worship. And out of frustration, I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, why is this happening? I know that you're a healer. And then I just said, you know what, Mom, I'm gonna pray for you again. So all of a sudden, I went to my mother in the living room and I said, Mom, I just wanna pray for you. And I begin to pray, and then prophecy leapt out of my voice. And it just literally came out of my mouth. And I said, I just heard the Lord saying that you are gonna be divinely and supernaturally healed. But when you are healed, it is going to be a sign that God is opening up the mouths of his people all around the world to begin to speak and to begin to declare, and dry bones are rising and an exceedingly great army is going to come up. And when you're healed, that healing is going to be a sign that a great harvest is going to happen in the earth. And after I said it, was like, whoa, what did I just say? Because I had never operated in any realm of prophecy like that. And so my mom said, okay, you know, I believe it. I believe it. And she was crying. Well, another year, another diagnosis, another incrementally getting worse and worse and each year. But something happened on the inside of me. And I don't know if you serve him too, but I serve Jehovah Sassy. I serve a God that, I have a spiritual stubbornness. Does that make sense? Is there anybody who's spiritually stubborn here this morning, that if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? And it might not look like it in natural, but I see by faith, and faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. Is there any faith people in the house today? Okay, because this was really early on in my story. So each year I had a decision. I was in a crossroads, just like you're in the crossroads right now. Am I going to go into defense, or am I going to go into offense? Am I going to lose territory, or am I going to take territory? And I'll tell you, each year it became a harder test, because I got older and older. I'm only 25 years old, by the way. Why are you laughing? But I got older and older and older, and I lost more hair and more hair. Now I have some gray hair. And what began to happen is each year she didn't get healed. Now, let me tell you about the irony of being in ministry. Is while she was not healed, each year I would travel all over the world and pray for other people's mothers and see medically verifiable miracles, but not for my own. And I don't know why it happened that way, but I remember the prophecy. Everybody say 25 years. This story happened 25 years ago. And let me just tell you the good news, because I know you know it's coming, because you're some good preachers. All of a sudden, I got a message from my mom. Now, she's the older generation, and she said, we need to FaceTime. Now, I don't know what it's like in Singapore, but in America, when the older generation says we need to FaceTime, it's always bad news. So I'll be honest, I knew that my mother was going to the doctor, and I thought to myself, oh, and I just have to be honest, because even as the preacher, even as the minister, sometimes we get this information and it rocks us. And I thought to myself, maybe my mom has a cancer diagnosis, because over the years she completely stopped singing. It's difficult for her to preach and minister. She can only sustain it for an hour or so a day. But then I did notice that there were some things changing the last several times I talked to her, but I didn't say anything. And she said, well, I want to FaceTime you. So I started to prepare myself for bad news. So I got the phone and I said, hey, Mom, how's it going? And she said, Doolittle, that's my nickname, I need to tell you some information about my doctor's appointment. And I wanted to see your face when I tell you this. And I said, yeah, Mom, is it okay? And then I'm thinking, well, surely it's bad news. And all of a sudden she said, I just got back from the third doctor's appointment. I didn't tell you about the first two. What happened was I went to the first one. They did the annual scan on my esophagus. When they did the scan, they said, we have to run another test. They brought me back for a second test. They said, we need to run another test. They just brought me back for the third test. And the doctor said, Sandra, we have no explanation, but we now have a triple confirmation and we've never seen this before, but you no longer have the disease and you are completely. And listen, by the way, doctors don't talk this way. They said, it's gone. Hallelujah. They said, it's gone. But then, this is the craziest part. My mother was in disbelief. She's like, because my voice has felt better. And she said, but what do you mean it's gone? And she said, Sandra, I know this is shocking. This is why we made you come back three times. But she said, I don't know how else to tell you it's gone, but go home, take your medication and throw it away. You don't need it anymore. Now, what doctor talks like that? Can somebody just shout unto God if you believe that he's still a healer? Come on. And my mom told me this, and it had been 25 years. And it was like, I don't know why it took God so long, but I'm so grateful that he did it. And tears were running down my face. And I said, Lord, you're so faithful. But each year I had to pass my test to run toward the roar. And let me tell you, all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came back to me. And I thought about myself as a teenager. And the Lord reminded me of that prophecy that when my mother got healed, it was going to be a sign that God is opening the voices of many people around the world. So I came all the way from New York City to tell you that God is getting ready to open your mouth and the power of life and death is in your tongue. And you're going to speak and declare the word of God. And some things are getting ready to change in your family. Some things are getting ready to change in your life. Oh, some physical conditions. Some of you don't know this. This might be the last day that you ever deal with it because the healer's in the house. But we're going to speak and believe that God is faithful to his word. Can anybody say amen? Can somebody shout, let it be so, God? Come on, we've got to come into agreement with his word. Oh, I'll tell you, we had a revival service after my mom got that healing and we just turned her loose and she was shouting all over and it was a powerful time. But when I look at Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, you have Gideon, and Gideon is in hiding. He's actually beating out wheat in the wine press. Tell your neighbor, just tell the person next to you, get out of the wine press. Okay, turn to the other side and tell the person you ignored, you get out of the wine press too. What is the wine press? The wine press represents the distraction from what God really called you to do. The wine press, he was beating out wheat in the wine press. Gideon didn't think he was gonna get in trouble because he kept himself busy doing something that he thought was admirable to do, but he wasn't doing what God called him to do. See, what God calls you to do is gonna make you uncomfortable. I'm an introvert, so God's making me get out of my comfort zone right now on stage. And what I have found is that your highest calling, it lies in the very thing that you don't want to do. I remember when I was living in Northwest Indiana. It's like a little Singapore. It's super clean. There's great food. We had a house with four bedrooms. We had a half acre massive backyard. And I remember when the Lord told me, Mike, I want you to sell your house. I want you to sell all of your possessions. And I want you to start a church in New York City. I said, oh, I have not heard from the Lord. That couldn't be God. That could not be God. God, you would never get out of the wine press. I said, Lord, what do I know about New York City? He was like, I didn't call you to learn New York City's culture. I'm calling you to go there and change it and bring the kingdom culture. Run toward the roar. And so I sold my house in obedience. I got an apartment in New York City the size of the stage. And let me tell you, it was the happiest I ever was because I was in the will of the Father. And let me just tell you, God's calling you to inconvenience. God's calling you to get out of your comfort zone. He'll call you to get out of the wine press. And it's very, very difficult. Sometimes the wine press represents, okay, can I be very vulnerable with you? Because I'm the product of divorce, I never saw a healthy marriage. And so when I got married to Julie, my wife has probably only committed one sin her entire life. She's almost perfect. She's Mother Teresa. We love her. But Julie, I just never encountered anyone like my life, my wife in my entire life. But I didn't know how to be a man. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be married. And so a couple years into our marriage, we encountered all these problems. And so I didn't want to have the conversations with my wife. I didn't want to run toward the roar. I wanted to run away. I wanted to leave. And how many of you know the devil will have you go to the same destination as your parents? Even though you take a different route. Oh, come on, that's a revelation for someone. You'll say, I'll never be like my father. I thought to myself, I'm a preacher. I'm a man of God. I'll never end up in divorce. I'll never be like my father. But the devil said, I will get you to the same destination, but I'll take you a different road. Why? Because we have to learn how to confront and do the things we don't want to do. So guess what? In the lowest point of my marriage, I ended up seeking out counseling. It was super awkward. We found a biblical-based counselor. I would sit in counseling and beads of sweat would form on my forehead. And they would say, you know, Mike, we think in this situation you're wrong. And I would say, excuse me? And I would sit there and I would wrestle with it. I feel led to say this to somebody right now, but I was doing the work and I was running toward the roar. I was not running away from the sound. And I would sit in counseling and weeks would go by and I was so sure I was right. And then all of a sudden I would have an epiphany. Oh no, I'm wrong. And then I didn't want to admit it. And they'd say, Mike, is there anything you would like to say? And I would, no. But the Lord was working something out. The Lord was working. And I look at Gideon in this story, Judges chapter 6. When I look at Gideon, the thing that I see is the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor when he is anything but a mighty man of valor. As a matter of fact, he's in hiding and the Lord is affirming him for something he hasn't even done yet. The Lord was treating me like a good husband while I was a bad husband. I was literally a terrible husband, and I'm so thankful that you're sitting on the front row to hear me say this in Singapore, but I was a terrible husband and my wife would look at me, and this is before we even had one church location. This is before I had done anything, before the best-selling books, before the viral YouTube, and I was a terrible husband, and literally my wife pointed her finger at me, and she said, you are a church planter. You are going to plant multiple churches. You are going to write books. This is not your identity. This is not who you are. And I would say, you're making me more mad. But see, the thing about the stories I'm trying to tell you is that I had to believe something for my mother when my mother did not believe it for herself. And 25 years later, she got a healing. And then my wife had to believe something for me. Oh, come on, somebody, that I did not believe for myself. But then all these years later, we hit fastest growing church in America the last 5 years in a row. And my wife says, I told you so. Because you need somebody of faith to remind you to speak the things that aren't as though they are, because your words create realities when they're connected to the promises of God. And if I'm the seed of Abraham, I have access to everything that is promised to me, but I've got to get my mouth to align with it. Somebody shall run toward the roar. Come on, is this helping you? All right. Because I heard that this church purchased or is got property in Orchard Tower. And you know what? The last time I was here, I heard about the reputation of that location, and I did a prayer walk in that space. And I got chills all over me right now. And I begin to walk and I said, Lord, you've caused me to break territories like New York City and Miami and Chicago. And now I'm here in Singapore. And I believe that this place is going to be filled with righteous people that are going to run toward the roar. Righteous people that are going to take territory and they're going to play offense, not defense. And then all of a sudden I landed here. I got in the car and then Pastor Andrew said, oh yeah, you see this building over here? We just got space, and my jaw dropped. And I know that I'm not the only one that was praying for that to happen, because the intercessors had all seen it in the spirit, amen? But why do I say that? Because I'm in New York City, and more than half of all of our campuses have been started in nightclubs. As a matter of fact, we have to have a vacuum cleaner to pick up all the needles from the drug usage the night before. As a matter of fact, there are some people that are still intoxicated and they stay all night long, and then we start church in the morning and they're like, oh, the party's still going. And we're like, yes, it is. Come this way. And we just bring them into church. I'm not kidding. Please come. Yes, yes. Some of them have elaborate costumes on with feathers and all these wild parties, and they're so intoxicated, they don't even know what's going on, but the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. And I can't tell you the number of people who have sobered up in a moment and they've accepted Jesus Christ. And now when people say, how did you find V1 Church? They say, it's a long story. God is able. I want to encourage you as I come to a close. When I read Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, it says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. But there's another lion, and that lion is Satan, and he's prowling around. And I want to tell you the meaning of run toward the roar. Maybe we can have somebody on the keys, and just if the band wants to come up as we close, because I believe there's a powerful moment for what God wants to do right now. Let me just tell you like this. One of the biggest revelations that I got recently was that there's an old story, and the story is basically that there was this lion, and this lion had a powerful roar. And as that lion got older and older, the vocal cords of that lion got deeper and deeper, and the growl and the roar became more menacing the older that lion got. But then what began to happen is that eventually that lion started to lose teeth. So now as that lion's old, it has the scariest roar it's ever had, but it has no teeth. So then what happens in that pride of lions is that the young lions, they strategically work with the old lion. And what they do is they wait in one position while the old lion sits right here and just begins to roar. And as the prey is coming, the lion begins to roar, and the prey runs the opposite direction to run away from the roar. And then what happens is the young lions are waiting, and they pounce and they take that prey, and it's a trap. And the thing about this story is that the safest place for that prey to run is toward the roar, because if the prey ran toward the roar, it would find that no matter how loud that sound is, that lion no longer has any teeth. And so in running away from the roar, it ran to its own demise. But if it ran toward the roar, you would see that that lion has lost his teeth. Well, I got good news for you. You get the cancer diagnosis and you hear the sound of the roar. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave, and cancer has lost its roar. Come on, somebody. I'll tell you, sometimes you think about your marriage, you think about your finances, you think about these different situations in life, and the roar seems so loud. My wife and I encountered two miscarriages. We had our first child, and then we had two miscarriages, and the sound of the roar was so loud. The doctor said, your wife's body is simply not able to have another child, and you should be thankful for the first child. But I said, that's not what the Lord showed me. I refused to listen to the loudness of that roar, because I actually believe by faith that that lion has lost his teeth. And I, you know what I did? I printed out all the scriptures about healing, and I took that printout into my room, and my wife was laying down on the bed, and I literally took the covers away, and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm becoming that husband that you prophesied about a long time ago." And I begin to speak the word of God over her womb. I begin to declare the scriptures into her womb. And I'll tell you what, the Lord did his part and Pastor Mike did his part. Praise God. And I'm telling you, about a year later, Everly Faith was born, my second daughter, despite what the doctor said. How many of you believe that God can do the impossible? How many of you believe it's time to run toward the roar? Come on, if you believe it, would you just jump up to your feet with me right now? Come on. Just as a sign of faith, we're going to do something. The very DNA of this church is a church that advances, not retreat. A church that goes on the offense, not just playing defense. A church that will speak and declare that it's represented in the venues that you have. And I believe that many leaders are going to rise up out of this place, and a multiplication of leaders like never before. And I believe that there's about to be a reconciliation and a healing in marriages. And I believe that there's just going to be an oil that flows from this place like never before. And yes, you guys have seen God do great and mighty things, but do not listen to the roar of the enemy, because I hear another roar, and it's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's roaring over Singapore. He's roaring over this nation. He's roaring over your families, and I'm telling you, we're not going to run away from that roar. We're going to run toward it. So here's what we're going to do. I know there's a lot of people here, but we have prayer team members, because I would be remiss to preach a sermon like this and not give an opportunity for you to respond. And I want to start with this. There's some of you in this place that you've been retreating. Your heart has grown cold. And I believe that God has called you to run toward the roar. And I believe that God is here to bring you back, to reestablish you. And so here's what I want to do. And I'm going to ask that the prayer team would come forward. And here's the thing about stepping out of your comfort zone. Running toward the roar is uncomfortable. Going to New York City when you come from a place like me was uncomfortable, but it was in that place that I've seen revival. Going to counseling for my marriage was uncomfortable, but it's in that place that I saw my marriage reconciled. And then from that place, I've had viral videos where I've taught about marriage, and God has healed many marriages. It was always running toward the roar. So what I want to do right now is I want to start with this. If you're somebody who said, "Pastor Mike, you're talking to me today, and I need to reconcile with God. I need to come home. I need to run toward the roar." I'm going to ask that you would just step out of your seat and just come forward right now. And we're going to use this space up front. If you need to come forward in front of everybody, go ahead and do it now. I just want to give you an opportunity, even if there's just one of you. And then the next thing that I want to ask is that if you have a physical condition in your body, because I feel that there's an unusual grace for healing, would you just come forward now? James chapter 5 says, "Are there any sick among you? Come and bring them to the elders of the church. Anoint them with oil so that they may be healed." And so I believe that there's a healing anointing, that there's a healing grace. Come on, run toward the roar. We're not going to listen to the reports of the doctors alone. Yes, we believe in the wisdom of physicians. Yes, we believe in medical interventions, but I believe that the great physician is going to touch. The great physician is going to heal. The great physician is going to restore. I believe that even as many of you stepped out of your seat, that the power of God began to touch you right now. Some of you are not even going to be touched by a prayer team member, but before they even get to you, the power of God is just being released from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Yeah, Father, I thank you for healing virtue, healing power to be released right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to every single disease, every sickness, even that which is incurable. And I say, God, do what only you can do right now. Do what only you can do right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. Come on, there's many still coming. Hallelujah. Come on, get ready for your next chapter, church. Get ready. I'm speaking from the front all the way to the back. God's turning the page. A new beginning, a new chapter. Come out of the wine press. Come out of hiding. Come out of your season of despair. I'm here to declare the end of a mourning season. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on. It may have taken 25 years, but God was faithful to his word. There's many of you that have not come out of mourning, even for the last couple years, but cycles of grief are being broken. Cycles of sadness and sorrow are being broken. And I speak to every demonic spirit that's been oppressing you, every demonic spirit that has been lying to you. And I break the power of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And the blood of the Lamb speaks a different story. The blood of the Lamb covers your family. Come on, I hear many of you saying, as for me and my house, come on, help me finish it. We will serve the Lord. Come on, everybody declare it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on. Salvation is coming to your family. Salvation is coming to your home. Prodigals are coming home. Your teenagers are going to serve the Lord. Your young people are going to serve the Lord. Come on. Even within the next year, you're going to see God supernaturally and divinely begin to lead them back to him. Wave at me if you're believing for a prodigal to come home in your family. Who's contending for their children? Who's contending for their children to be saved? Come on, we just, God, we present them to you. God, we bring our children to you. God, we say that you can save. You can bring the word to our children. Within the next year, we declare that our children will come home. Come on, I want to challenge everybody here from the front to the back to begin to open up your mouth and to begin to declare. Come on, use the power of the tongue, life and death. Come on, begin to speak it right now out of your own mouth. Come on, let's worship. Come on, declare his greatness. How great. Come on, worship. It's happening. Come on, we celebrate before it happens. We worship before it happens because we know it's on the way.
Is our God, how great, we sing it again. This morning, driving to the church, I felt the Holy Spirit say, expect. Be in expectation. Be in expectation. I want you one more time to lift up your hands, everybody, over this place. And we're going to pray in Jesus' name. We want to release the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. I tell you this, every time we come to church, we must expect God to move. We must expect He's a miracle working God. He wants to stretch His hands. He wants to heal. He wants to touch people. He wants to deliver them. He wants to break chains over this place. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hands, everybody. Come on. I want you to have that faith rise in expectation right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this word that has gone forth, Lord. And we thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we can speak in judgment, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now. I loose your anointing. I loose your presence in the name of Jesus. We break every chain that binds us, Lord. We break every chain that binds us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we loose your anointing over this place, Lord, the healing power of Jesus Christ, Lord. People are going to go back home and they're going to feel, oh my goodness, I've been healed, I've been healed, I've been healed. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be instantaneous, Lord. Release the anointing. Release your presence, oh God. And I pray right now, Lord, that you'll put your word in the mouth of your people, oh God. Let Cornerstone be a preaching church, hallelujah, full of the power of God, full of holiness, full of purity. Lord, bless your people with every spiritual blessing, Lord. And as they depart in the name of Jesus, let the favor of God be upon them. I prophesy over you. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall be blessed in your coming ins and your going outs. Wherever you go, the Lord says, I will bless you and I will favor you, and they will see this favor over your life. Hallelujah. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for the grace of God over your people, and now release your presence over them, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant you his peace, and may God put his name upon you forevermore. Lift up your hands. The blessings of God the Father, the blessings of God the Son, and the blessings of God the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a mighty big shout of praise. Come on, someone say amen. Hallelujah. Someone praise the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. We give you the glory, Lord. We give you the glory, Lord.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.